I want to share with you today a lesson on hope. I want to begin, if you will, to turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we begin in verse 3 there, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Many times when we speak of the word hope, we think, many of us think, of eternal life in heaven. That is the hope that lies in all of us. But there's more to it than that. Whenever we look at definitions, I always like to look at definitions, and I kind of rely on Webster for the American definition of certain words, and it helps me to understand things a little better. But I want us to notice here that when we look at this definition of hope, from Webster's point of view, it's a feeling of expectation. It is a desire or wish for a certain thing to happen. It would be like, kind of giving an example of what the definition is, it would be like me when I leave here today hoping that my wife fix me steak and potatoes when I get home. I'm hoping. Doesn't mean a certainty of it. No guarantees of that. It might be spaghetti, I don't know. But you can see what the kind of the illustration is. I have a desire, but it may not follow through. Well, when we look at God and His definition of hope, what we find is, if we still see that word expectation used there, but notice there a little bit of a twist to it, a change. With God, hope is an expectation with certainty. We have a guarantee that God will do what He has said. In Hebrews 11 and chapter 1, we find there that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And everything that God has promised in the past, present, future, all things will come about. We can rest assured of that. There are certainties. And when we hope for that home in heaven, we can rest assured, just as Jesus said, "I have gone to prepare a place for you," that that place is prepared, waiting for us. I want us to think about, though, in Hebrews chapter 11, there he uses that thought there, the substance of things hoped for. See, there's more to hope than just the hope of eternal life in heaven. There's a substance, there's other things involved in our hope, at least it should be. One of those things, whenever we look at it, is hope of God's provisions. We look at Matthew chapter 6, I'm pretty sure everybody's very familiar with it, when it talks about food, shelter, and clothing. And we're all expecting, we have expectations of having those things, and there are some who worrisome, and that's kind of where that passage is getting to there, is not worrying about it, because we need to have the hope that God will fulfill our needs. When we look at verse 31 there, and notice what it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear." He said, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." putting proper perspective and putting things in proper place. Seeking after God first, God will make sure that all those needs are going to be taken care of. I've always said I've never seen a faithful child of God going without food, or going without clothing, or going without somewhere to rest their head at night. God takes care of His children. And we have that hope, that certainty, that God will be there to take care of it. We find also that when we think about hope, there's hope of God's presence. Who would not want God's presence being with them? We've turned our Bibles back over to the Old Testament, if you will, for a few moments. And we find the Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 6 through 8. And here we find the very presence of God before Joshua and the children of Israel. And here what we find is they're about to go into battle. They're about to take over the promised land that God had promised unto them. Now rest assured, they have already heard of the situation over there. They referred to as giants. The armies are better than theirs. The fortification of walls are stronger than anything. And so what we find here is God is reassuring them and Joshua that He is there. Whenever we read in chapter 31 and verse 6, we find there, the writer, here God says, He says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Now there is a hope. It is a consistent hope. And it is an assurance that God is always with us. We look through the Old Testament and we use that as our schoolmaster. It's kind of a learning tool that we use. And we read about how God took care of His children. How you might say God fought the battles for them. As they pursued their enemies, God was there with them. And in all instances, God protected them. Here it says, "Be strong." And then Moses, he called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, and once again, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear," He says, "nor be dismayed." If we could just get this kind of hope in our hearts, we can conquer all things. We can overcome all things knowing that God is with us. He's fighting the battles, whatever they may be, whatever the sorrows are in our lives, whatever trials are going through our lives, God will get us through them. But we've got to have that living hope that God is there. When we look at Psalms chapter 119, we find another thought about hope. Here we find, if you will, in this particular passage, it's God's protection. Now we talked about His presence there in Deuteronomy with Joshua and the Israelites, that He would be with them, He would not forsake them, He would not turn His back on them. But we also need to look to God for protection. As I said, He fought with them in their battles. He was there with them, battling. And here we find in Psalms 119, and notice David's thoughts about God and His protection. He says, "I hate the double-minded, but I love Your law. You are my hiding place." Now in the Old King James, I believe it uses the word refuge, which I like that word a little bit better. It kind of applies, makes the application a little bit clearer. "But You are my refuge and my shield. I hope in Your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Why was it that David was so strong and being able to make that kind of a statement? It's because he knew God would protect him. David had many enemies. many of which were seeking to kill him. Saul himself was very envious and very jealous of him and was seeking after his death. Many other kingdoms and kings were looking out to destroy him. And so he relied on God to be his protection. Many things come our ways. But knowing that God will protect us and see us through, that's the greatest hope we can have. He says, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope," he says. "Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments." The kind of respect that David had for God, recognizing that God can protect us and keep us safe from the evils of this world. We look over, if you will, to Titus now, going over to the New Testament, and we find another substance of our hope in Titus chapter 1. And notice with me what it says there in verses 1 and 2. And as Paul, many times, he always addresses and makes his salutations in the beginning of his letters. We find here he says, "Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." There's that one hope that so many are so familiar about. Eternal life. God has promised it. He's promised it to His faithful. Those who are obedient unto His will. God has promised us that He will give us that eternal life. Not eternal destruction. That is promised to those who are disobedient and unfaithful to God. But yet we can have hope in our souls that if I'm faithful and obedient unto God, eternal life waits for me. That home in heaven. Whenever we look at some more substance of our hope, another substance is that of Christ's return. Turn your Bibles over one more chapter there in Titus chapter 2. And we find here another substance that it is vitally important that we understand and that we look forward to, and that is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, that does mean the end of time as we know it here on this earth. But what a glorious thing it will be. All the suffering of this life that we, as we know it, all the pain, the sorrow, the death that comes with this physical life, will no longer be. We will live eternally in comfort and bliss with our Heavenly Father in heaven. Here we find in Titus chapter 2, 11 through 13, there notice, says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." What a wonderful thing that's going to be. To see our Lord and Savior calling us home. Calling us to our eternal home. That's going to be a wonderful thing. And that is a part of the substance of the hope that we hope for. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about an inheritance. One of the things that we need to recognize, you know, we talked about, Jared, is it? Talked about how he became part of a family. And that is so true. We are the family of God. Within this congregation, with the other congregations together, and with everyone all around that are doing and teaching and serving and worshiping God as they should. We are all a family of God. And sometimes we fail to recognize just how important that is to be part of that family. And that's why Glendon, I'm glad he sung that song, because it's a very good song about that, the family of God. But here we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us." Now, we have become a part of. He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is through that sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have this opportunity to be a part of this family. As he says in verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." We are a part of this family. And we need to recognize. He says it is all kept. It's being saved for each and every one of us, that we can have that home in heaven. There's an inheritance that is waiting for us. And we will receive it if we're patient and obedient, faithful unto God. We can rest assured in all hopes of that inheritance. An assurance from God. And then finally, I want us to think of this. Hope of answered prayer. In the announcements this morning, as Roger was reading them, I was thinking of this. How many sick and afflicted there are just among this congregation. Family and friends that have asked prayer requests on their behalf. As well as we do at Haines Street, we have many sick and afflicted. Many shut-ins that aren't able to be out. But how many of us truly believe in that word of prayer? How many of us have doubts about prayer offered to God and answered prayer? Turn your Bibles over to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, and here we find in verses 14 and 15, this is what he has to say. He says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now, how many of us have that kind of confidence? That as a prayer was being offered this morning on behalf of many of the sick, for the congregation here, for the work here, for the things that are going on, for those that are traveling, praying for their safe return, for the sick to be healed, to be comforted. How many of us have that confidence, as he says here, that we can pray with all confidence that God hears our prayers? I've had some say, "Well, you know, God's so busy, and you know, He's just got so many other things to deal with and so many other prayers to answer. He's probably shifted me into a file somewhere." Rest assured, God knows us. He knows each and every one of us. And God answers our prayers. But it's according to His will. One of the things I've always told my children is that your wants are not necessarily your needs. And see, God knows that. So God's able to look into our prayers and see what we truly need. Because we ourselves, as the great Solomon said, we can't even get out of bed without God's assistance. And we really don't know what we really need. But God does. He knows each and every one of us individually enough to know. He has an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. That when I talk to my Father in heaven, God knows what my needs are. And God will answer those needs. As we read on here, it says, "If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know..." See, there's that confidence, there's that assurance, that guarantee. So you don't get that from the Webster Dictionary, do you? But you get it from God in His Word. There's an assurance here that we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him, that He will answer those prayers. I have always said, in times of need, in times at the hospital, at the sides of hospital beds of members or family members or whatever they may be, the power of prayer goes far beyond what any surgeon or doctor can do. And we've got to rest assured of that, that God will hear our prayers. I'll close with this. These things that we just spoke of, this is the substance of the hope that lies within us. This is the reason that we can go on through life with all the confidence and assurance. And no matter what is thrown at us, no matter what trials come into our lives, whatever sorrows are in our lives, we can rest with assurance that we can get through it with God and His assistance. That whatever we say and ask of God, God will answer our prayers. In Hebrews 6:19, I'll close with that verse. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Whenever you think about an anchor, there is no ship or boat that ever goes out into open waters without an anchor. That would be foolishness. But so many times we as individuals go out into this world without an anchor. And that's why we get tossed to and fro. That's why we can't hold down and stand firm, because we've left our anchor behind. Hope is the anchor. Our hope in God, our hope in His Word, and the promises that He has given us, that's what anchors our soul, both sure and steadfast. If you're here today, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you are without hope. There is no hope without God. The end of this life, as miserable as it may be, it will only get worse in eternity. Just as God promised a place of comfort in heaven, He has also promised a place of torment that He has also prepared. This place is a place where those who have refused to listen to God, refused to obey God, have turned their backs on God, have had doubts about God, this is where they will spend their eternity. When we read in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, it says, when he died, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You can rest assured that torment was horrible, and that torment is for an eternity. It will never end. But just as sure as we are of that, we can be assured of a home in heaven. A place where God has prepared for all His faithful children. Where God will answer all the prayers. And we will live in comfort and peace with our Heavenly Father throughout eternity. Today you have a choice. To have hope or not to have hope. It's all in our decision individually as to where we will spend our eternity. My hope and prayer is that when we stand and sing the song, that you'll make your way forward, whether in obedience to the gospel or in repentance of sins that we may have committed, because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all commit sin. It's not good to remain in it. It's a very dangerous place to be. So if there's sin in your life, make it right with God today while you have the opportunity. Let us sing.